coming your way live from a top secret location in Redondo Beach. You're listening to Aspel on the Esplanade on CHSR, HealthyLife.net Radio.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to HealthyLife.net. This is Steve Aspel. I'm sitting here, hanging here, actually, with South Bay J. Cruz.
Hey there.
And we are in our top secret location somewhere in Redondo Beach, California.
It moves.
It does. And it's a beautiful day outside. I went for a walk with my granddaughter and my wife today, and I had to wear a hat because it was a little cold, but it was still beautiful.
It is chilly. I had to put my hat on indoors. I was kind of...
Yeah, you've got your wool cap on. I've been wearing my wool cap indoors all the time.
Yeah. I'm the same right now.
I find the older I get, the less I like the cold.
Oh, yeah.
I hate cold anyway, so I would never live in a place that gets freezing cold all the time.
And apparently Florida's off the list because the panhandle has been snowing like Colorado this week.
I know, and they got snow in New Orleans. And
yeah.
Imagine all the drunks coming out of the bars on Bourbon Street.
Slip.
With the ice road, man. It'd be crazy.
It's like the time I was like 3 years old in Reno and I couldn't walk. You know?
Well, it'd be like I was 63 years old in Reno. I've been to Reno a few times with Farmers Insurance out of things there all the time. Yeah, I like Reno.
Me too.
It gets too cold. But anyway, so I wanted to ask you. Last time I was here, I wasn't here last week.
Right.
I was here on the 10-year anniversary of our interview with
Jed and Jack.
Yeah, it was fun. And I've seen him a few times since. But I have your band,
uh-huh.
Five long years. You played Friday night.
Friday night at a place that used to be known as King Harbor Brewery. They're
right.
Now Trust, a place in Long Beach. It's also a brewery. Bought them out. They're called Trusted Gut, which is an easy name to remember because it's just kind of weird, you know, Trusted Gut. And they've taken over that tap room.
It means you don't shit yourself.
Yeah.
Trusted Gut.
On 182nd Street behind the Galleria and Kingsdale in Redondo Beach.
Right.
We had a show from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock and had a pretty good turnout. You know, we hadn't played in a long time. You know, myself and a couple other guys dealt with a lot of issues last year health-wise. And,
right.
Some more complicated than others. And, you know, we had a guy who had shoulder surgery, a guitar player. And if you're if you're listening to this show, you probably like baseball or football, and you know a quarterback or a pitcher getting shoulder surgery, they're out for the year. So a guitarist, it's almost the same.
A guitarist, that would be bad for your income.
Yeah. Well, we're not...
Is it shoulder surgery or a rotator cuff?
Rotator cuff.
Remind me to talk about that before we're done. I'm supposed to get one.
Oy.
Let's hear about your show. Enough of me whining about my physical problems. I got something all the time.
Yeah.
So you played for 2 hours, and your band plays. I've seen you twice.
Yeah.
Rock. Classic rock.
Classic rock. Classic hard rock. No Fleetwood Mac. More AC/DC, Bad Company. Bands like that.
No Fleetwood Mac.
Although we worked on a song, it just didn't stick. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we can sing, you know, so it's not just complete metal, but it's hard rock with vocals and melody. I mean, Journey qualifies under there.
Right.
Some AC/DC, Bad Company. Those are just the ones off the top of my head.
Come
Queen.
On, that's all
you
Queen
got? Song.
Oh, yeah, Queen. Oh, okay. Who sings Freddie Mercury? You have a guy
who
does?
Our singer, he's got a pretty high range.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes I'm playing and, like, some of the Journey songs we do, I'm like, he's just kicking ass on that guitar, and then he'll get back to singing. And then, anyway, since I'm comfortable on the mic, I'm better speaking than singing. But, you know, him and I have an agreement, like, because he has a lot of guitars, some specific guitars for each song, as opposed to Jack, who just sounds great with his great guitar and everything.
Right.
So, but he likes to have a variety of guitars, and he'll switch in between, you know, about four songs into the set. He might switch. And, you know, that's usually when I kind of take over to cover any quote-unquote dead air. You know, hey, the name of the band. Here's some. I put out some business cards, take them home, follow us. And, you know, but one time we did a gig, it was last year, and I'm just like, who in the world can cover the Steve Perry and the Neil Sean part of a Journey song?
Jack. Maybe.
Possibly,
yeah.
Somebody like him, you know, someone who's a good singer and good guitarist who... you know, Steve Perry sings. He doesn't play guitar. And Neil Sean plays guitar. He doesn't sing. They're both awesome. They've sold gazillions of records. They're a household musical name, influence, and all that. But, you know, so sometimes I've got to kick myself. I've known this guy 7 years, but what a talented dude.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, he's him and I have been talking for a long time. He's probably going to start joining me on my Wednesday once-a-month radio show, Backbeat Radio, which is on the first Wednesday every month here at Healthy Life. And, you know, we have this thing that kind of goes into... He has this a lot of data on all the just classic rock bands, you know, that he's like reviewed like 60 bands' catalog of albums, ranking the albums, best albums. It's got this criteria of stuff, and we finally decided, you know, we're going to start this. So coming soon in the next month or so, we're going to start, and it'll be on here on the station. And you know, him and I have this thing, and I don't know, I kind of pattern that little thing we have after Jed and Jack, because I think they have a very good, you know, great audience patter, you know, that they're entertaining even in between the songs, if they're tuning up or someone's giving somebody a request, you know. So, like, I kind of was inspired by how Feed the Kitty does that. And, you know, Boz and I have that dynamic where, like, our drummer sings very well, but he doesn't like to talk.
Okay.
You know, so I, like, I do a handful of vocals here and there. And speaking is, you know, not so bad.
What's your song you sing?
I sing back up on One Journey song, Just the Same Way You Love Me. I sing back up on Queen, Tie Your Mother Down. I sing back up on AC/DC, which, you know, it's just... they're really kind of just...
I could do that.
Exactly. Sometimes they're called, like, gang vocals, you know, where it's just like a bunch of, you know, like
screaming
the bar
out,
could sound as good as, like, you know, whatever it is, so... And then, actually, the other night, I kind of lost my voice on a Cars song that I sing. Our drummer, Jose, sings lead on that. And our main singer, he's like, I need a break once a set.
And
you know?
What's the Cars song?
Let's Go. It's off their second album. And I sing some of I help on the background vocals. And I went to sing my part, and it was like, the part goes, I like the nightlife, baby. And my voice goes, I like the... And I'm like, I go, oh, shoot, my... I'm finally getting sick. I've been fighting it all week, and
that's your job here too.
Yeah.
You have a voice.
Yeah, and then everyone wanted to go out afterwards and have a good time. As you know, people that come to your show always want to party afterwards. And,
right.
know, when you're done with the show, oftentimes you're not ready to go to sleep. You know, you're ready to.
You can't be ready to go to sleep.
I couldn't fall asleep till like 1 o'clock.
I
mean, we're all completely wired, even though I wanted to go to sleep. I was just trying to save my voice, and it was cold, and I knew talking would. I knew I had, you know, and I'm like, I got to talk on the radio, you know. By Monday, I need to be happening. You know, actually, Sunday, I have to do a little bit of work for Monday's news and stuff. So.
There you go. Well, I'm going to have to. How many people showed up?
We had about 45, 50, and it's...
Nice.
Know.
Okay. That's a great venue.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
The owner, who he used to own that and a few other bars down in the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened. The COVID hit.
It was tough on
He just vaporized, and I don't know what happened to his business.
Well, I remember, I don't know them well, the guys in Project Barley, they had just opened right around, like, late 2019, typically, you know, right before the pandemic started.
Right.
And they were kind of in flux because, you know, they weren't an essential business. Like, they let bars stay open because, you know, they're like, you know, people need to get hammered because how else are they going to deal with this?
Right.
Like, pot shops are open. Couldn't get a haircut. You can go get some intoxicants.
Get drunk and stoned and don't cut our hair.
But, you know, and then my friend, he's a dog groomer. He was open. Our drummer. That was an essential business keeping, you know. And I'm like, Jose, you just trim a little off the off the top here. But Project Barley had a difficult time and they had to go to, like, help
Project
from.
Project Barley is half outdoors.
Yeah, but, like, there was a big, because of the essential, non-essential business thing, them and other tap rooms were in a big no man's land. Kind of a, what's that? Limbo? Purgatory?
Yeah, if you're a good Catholic or Christian, you're believing in limbo.
Yeah.
Or dad's going to put his kid in limbo.
Yeah, yeah.
Bullshit story.
So, anyway, so I know a lot of breweries kind of had to weather that storm.
Well, that's a
I remember.
A lot of money invested in that brewery there, those guys.
Yeah. And, you know, and thankfully for them, they made it through that particular, and Project Barley has a second or third location.
Right, Lomita.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right, real close to a but I can't remember the name of it. But my son-in-law and daughter hang out there. And the owners are pretty. They live in Redondo Beach. It'll come to me at about 1 in the morning, the name of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Burning Daylight.
It's not even
1 in the morning.
Right.
It's interesting. I just had that brain fade.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go see a neurologist.
Okay.
You know, it's... Well, let's keep talking about it. We'll get that. What else? See, I forgot what the other thing we're coming back to. Because I'm forgetting shit.
But it was nice. A lot of people that I hadn't seen in a long time turned out, which, you know, it kind of, you know, sometimes when you put out flyers or post social media, I mean, I'm doing that, and like the other guys in the band don't do it as much, and, you know, that's kind of my thing. Sometimes I get on, I'm going, you guys could hit a share button once or twice in your life. I wouldn't be so bad. But they text friends and they, you know, get people out otherwise. But I was, Linda came out, owner of the station, our mayor candidate, Joan Irvine for mayor came out.
Right.
And, my hairstylist came out, my tattoo artist came out. So my personal, stylist,
you had your entourage.
Yeah,
there.
I had my image team came
That's
out,
right.
You know, which
wow.
is kind of cool. And, some other friends hadn't seen in a long time. And then another really cool thing that came out of it is another friend who knows our singer and drummer really well, because I didn't grow up here. I moved here like 20 years ago. So everyone I've met is already kind of established where, you know, they had already done music 20 years ago. I wasn't part of that scene. But this guy named Sherman, who runs a studio in Gardena, who knows our singer very well, he's like, yeah, I'm going to come out. And then we're trying to get a gig at his studio where we could, you know, film a video and stuff. But he goes, okay. I can do you one better. I'm working with this guy at Schooners is the place. It's in Redondo Beach.
And, oh, I know. I just drove by it.
And he sent the guy that does the booking to come check us out. And he apparently liked us really well. He took a video that I've posted of us doing a whole lot of Rosie AC/DC cover. And he was like right up front. It was a nice, well shot video, got the whole song. And he liked the, you know, I woke up the next morning and on Instagram, I see, oh, you've been tagged in a video. And it was this guy. And I go to his page and it turned out he was the person that was coming out to scout us. And I go, well, that's a good sign. If he followed the band, posted a video, and then on his comments said, good show by Five Long Years. So I contacted him, and we're going to play sometime in April. I don't know what date yet, but they have music on Thursday nights. You know, which
Thursday night, that'd be better.
A little bit later, and I think their hours are something like 8 to 10, maybe, you know.
Now, where is it?
As far as, that'll be at Schooners.
Here, at Schooners.
Yeah, 190th and...
There's no neighbors to complain. It's a nice place.
Yeah, there's a grocery store and I think a piercing place across the street and an automotive place behind that.
Well, the grocery store is in Torrance. And
yeah.
Schooners is in Redondo Beach.
Okay.
So hell with the people in Torrance. We
yeah.
don't care.
They have enough going on in Torrance with Delamo.
Yeah, I know. They have enough going on in Torrance anyway.
Right.
I used to have a lot of campaign things at the Schooner.
Yeah.
And I know the owner, his office is upstairs, Ben
uh-huh.
Hagerwall, and it's a cool place. It's uh-huh. It's probably one of the few places in that neighborhood
yeah.
that you can go get a sandwich and a beer.
Oh, yeah.
And there's not many places in central Redondo.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Mormon town or something, it seems like.
Yeah, it's nicer than some of the others here in North Redondo. You know, it's a good place.
They're using that for the campaigning this year.
Yeah, no.
They always bet you North Redondo's Artica sucks. You know,
yeah.
It's
not that bad. I mean,
it's not that bad.
It could be better.
You can't compare it to other parts.
Yeah.
They're comparing themselves to downtown Manhattan Beach or something. It's never going to be that way.
Right.
But, yeah, so interesting. You were talking about you were singing and your voice was going.
Yeah, it just disappeared.
Well, you know, Jed, good old Jed from Feed the Kitty and Pet
uh-huh.
Project, when he really gets into it, he'll sing a little bit in the
mm-hmm.
background.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't. I yell at him, sing. He goes, no, I can't sing. He's taking lessons and all this stuff, but he can't. I said, could Bob Dylan sing? Could Jerry Garcia sing?
Singing is three things, actually. Number one, confidence. You got to have confidence.
Yeah.
That's the biggest hurdle. Because we all grew up, we all tried to sing, and someone goes, you're not going to be a singer. Then we all quit. Some
yeah.
people stick through it and push through and get there. Number two, singing on key. People have to learn to sing on key. People can get close, practice, not in the shower, you know, but practice in the car where you have music going. and see if you can like match the tone, and then you're a lot closer. And then number three, learn the lyrics or remember the lyrics. Or
Jerry Garcia didn't.
And if you don't, you know, and then there's certain things like if you know verse one, who knows? Who cares if you repeat verse two? It still sounds good. It worked the first time. It could work the second time.
As the night goes on, people are blasted and you can sing whatever you want.
And at the end of the night, people are either A, entertained, or B, not so much.
It doesn't matter.
And they just want to have a good time. I think Barry Levinson, your guest a long time ago, said, every night's a party when I play. It's always someone's birthday.
And Barry was a guitarist for Canned Heat.
He's toured the world.
Yeah, he's been around. It's interesting about, you know, as you know, I can't sing, I can't play, can't do anything, but I enjoy it, and now I'm a critic. Mm-hmm. I've been hanging around the band too long.
Hey, do you want a bass?
Huh?
I have an extra bass.
I do need a bass.
I'm giving it to you. I'm going to give you my Les Paul, Epiphone Les Paul, the first bass I bought.
The doctor's been telling me that for years. I need to get a bass guitar.
I'm going to give it to you because, I don't use it, and it's just sitting around. I've got three others.
I wouldn't sell it. Don't worry. Okay, I'll take it.
No problem. I don't care. I'm either going to sell it or give it to someone who's a bass player. Linda's grandson. I'll come teach you a couple things.
That'd be fun.
I'll bring it by sometime soon or have it for you next week. I'll just get it downstairs.
Okay.
You know, and
that'd be fun. Thank you.
Yeah, because it's just sitting in my room, and I don't need it. I have three others that I love.
You collect bass players.
It happens. It happens.
Well, you do. I've watched musicians. You can't have just one.
No.
And it's interesting you brought that up, but I'm going to take it. But I was going to ask you about extra equipment. In my mental list, last week at my Rotary Club, speaker was Foss, and I was telling you about the going to see the doctor. I don't remember the guy's first name. Anyway, he's a restaurant critic for the Easy Reader newspaper.
Okay.
And he does a lot of other things. He's a really good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he is involved in a group that is raising money or just getting extra musical equipment. It could be a trombone, it could be a harmonica, it could be guitars.
All right.
For the victims of the fires.
Cool.
And it's interesting, if you noticed, again, remind me, there's a line of demarcation going up in Southern California about the fires.
Yeah.
The money is getting we're raising money for the Eaton fire. And not the Palisades fire, which is the right thing to do. Because, you know, the guy's $40 million house on the beach burnt down, and I really don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I do, but if we give him federal money, my tax money, I'm going to be a little upset.
Those people just go live at house number two, which is probably in Aurora, some great place in Colorado.
And the guys in Eaton, Eaton fire, I don't know where they get the names of these fires, but Arcadia and Altadena.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful neighborhood, but it's not the richest neighborhood.
Right.
It's lovely, but it's just a regular neighborhood. And he's Foss. You have to get his name at the break. He's collecting guitars to give out. And then Doug Jett said, he's going to find extra guitars, but I keep forgetting. I said, I know a bunch of musicians, but guitars, it's like they don't want to give them up or even their first harmonica or whatever, their trombone. And this stuff is expensive. Mm-hmm. And it's for high schools.
Yeah.
It's not for bar people.
Okay.
There are the couple high schools that burned down.
They have music
the
programs.
The bands want to play on the graduation.
Okay.
And so I said, well, I'll ask some guys if they just, it's something that works, but it could be any kind of musical instrument.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, he came to me after he spoke at Rotary because he asked me if I was the former mayor.
Uh-huh.
I said, yeah, I'm that guy. And he goes, he asked me if I could, can I use your name? I go, it's 8 years ago and I wasn't that popular anyway.
So,
so you think about that. I want their guitar. But if you know anybody else with guitars, I'm going to help them find 10 or 15 things.
Okay. Yeah, there's a couple laying around over at the studio. At least, I don't know. I mean, the drummer wants to, if I had a set of drums, I wouldn't give it away. I'd be trying to play drums, another instrument.
It's funny, people you meet, just because I got hanging with you musicians,
uh-huh.
So I meet all these people in the music business, and that's weird. But, you know, people are... About singing, but real singers have to watch what you say.
Yeah.
Because I don't do karaoke.
Right.
I've done it like three times in my life.
And you always end up online, which is, you know.
Yeah, well, I got a standing ovation in Kona.
Awesome.
I think I might have mentioned that once. And then another time, in Redondo Beach, I sang, I say Truckin'. It was just a Grateful Dead song.
Yeah.
And I was Friend of the Devil.
Cool.
And Jed said, somebody filmed it and sent it to him.
Uh-huh.
He goes, you were off key.
Okay.
I go, I was off key. What the F does that mean?
Yeah.
I go, I'm just a guy probably in the bag.
It's karaoke.
Yeah, so karaoke. But I go, I know something was weird, but how does an amateur or a non-singer get on key? How do you even know what the key is? I don't even know what it is.
That takes a little while. And actually last year before I kind of went through some health issues, I was taking some singing lessons, which I at some point will probably start again. That was through my friend Tatiana Ursay. She plays around in the South Bay quite a bit. A very talented singer, and then she started doing lessons, and I'm like, I would like to do that. And I only took a couple lessons, but one thing, you know, she taught me, first of all, warm-ups, so you don't hurt yourself, because your voice is a muscle. And for me, I'm extra, that's why I've not even tried singing very much, because this is what I do. I need it for this.
Right.
You know, I'm a golfer, not a baseball player.
You don't want to be out of work. Sick,
exactly.
Your voice went bad.
You know, people go, you know, golfers and baseball players don't have the same type of swing. One's power, one's finesse. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, singing kind of has a little of that. But one thing that was very a practice, if you can either, like, get an app where it'll give you, like, piano keys, and it'll just go, like, A flat, B, you know, all the way up to, you know, A through F. Or you can, you know, get a guitar and do the same thing and just keep going, and you play the string of the note, and then you just try to match it. And it takes practice.
A lot of nun used to do in my grammar school, and we were in the choir. You'd go, that little thing they pull out, ding, it's like a racer or something.
Right.
And they come out with a sound. Okay, you know, here we go. And all the kids are going, okay, whatever. Just
you know,
going.
So it's a lot of listening and using your own ears to kind of mimic what you hear. And then when you, like, do harmonies, then there should be, like, a little variance. Like, there should be one person who's, like,
a little higher,
maybe a little lower. So a lot of times if we do a couple songs, we do harmonies, they usually give me the lower part. Although okay. I can sing higher than I realize, which is something I learned in a couple lessons with Tatiana.
Okay.
She goes, your key is this, and it's a little higher than I expected.
Key.
So, but, you know, warming up too, like if you're going to go out and, even if you're going to play like pickleball, which to me doesn't seem very athletic, but it's popular, stretch out a little bit, especially the older you get and the more you...
Pickleball is made for older people.
It is, but I think you should still stretch, you know, maybe do a little of this, definitely get the legs going so the hamstring or the groin doesn't snap on you. And,
but you're my age, you pull a muscle stretching.
I know.
It's amazing.
I have to stretch before gigs now because I'm standing there in my rock and roll stance and I'll be like, oh man, my hamstring's getting a little tired there. Maybe am I dehydrated? Do I stretch?
You were talking about stretching and then your friend had the rotator cuff?
Yeah.
Well, mine's done.
Uh-huh.
My right arm. The true story is I had this neck surgery in 1993.
Oh, wow.
And it was a failure. And they had to go back in and fix the bones. They take the bone out of your hip, which is still painful.
Yeah.
I woke up to that. Wow, he didn't warn me about that.
Mm.
And those are the days that you can get a cadaver bone. They take your cartilage out and they put a couple bones in.
Right.
So they did that to two of my vertebrae, an L4 and L5.
Oh.
And people do it all the time. You've got to drive home to your house laying on the back of a van. And you don't walk for a while. And I was fine. And one day I was feeling better and feeding my daughter, who's now 32. You take my right hand with baby food and put it in her mouth. And I told Pam, my right arm feels funky. This is after the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started going dead.
Yeah.
So I went back to the doctor. He goes, you're doing too much. And anyway,
as he kept saying that to him.
Yeah, a week later, I couldn't even pick my nose or wipe my butt. Ow.
Yeah.
My arm was hanging there. And I went, here we go. So I go back in, and they do another MRI, and they go, well, we have to go back in. the bone slipped and pinched off your cord.
Oh, God.
So they fix it. And went back in and did it again with that same stupid bone. If you ever have to have neck surgery, do not use your own bones because it hurts more. It destroys. If I push this one spot in my hip, I can still feel it. Mm-hmm. But waking up, I said, give me a shot right now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I did the surgery, and afterwards it started healing up, but I was still, my arm didn't work. So I go to PT.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's probably should have gone to rehab sometime.
Yeah.
I had little kids and all this, and I didn't really care, and I didn't really work hard at it. I'm not really a gym rat.
Yeah.
So I just let it be weak.
Okay.
And to this day, I can curl about 5 pounds by myself. I mean, uh-huh. Only one hand.
Okay.
If I want to hold it with my other hand too, I can curl a lot more.
Yeah.
But it's just dead. And anyway, I after I had some surgeries, joined the gym again about 3 years ago. I'm doing these exercises. I'm way better shape and all this, but I'm doing this one exercise on my arm, my right arm that's dead. And it's getting better, and I take a heavier weight. I lift it behind my head, lift it up. It's hard to describe. It was laying on my back. It's hard to describe this physical therapy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a clunk.
Oh.
I heard it, like it was across the room.
Oh, man.
I didn't say, oh, man, either. I knew something was wrong.
Uh-huh.
So I let it go, and I went to the doctor about a month later, did an MRI, and he went, you tore your rotator cuff. I said, well, what do I do about that? Well, we got to go in.
Yeah.
How did I hurt my... Well, how did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, you have sat on your butt for 70 years, and now you're trying to get in shape. All in one day.
Uh-huh.
And I was right.
Yeah.
If you ripped it, you just can't do it that way.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's better now. I went back for a third time to the doctor for another MRI. He goes, well, I'd have to go in there arthroscopically and clean out the junk. And if I do that, you'll be in a sling for about a week.
Yeah.
And you'll be doing your regular life in about a month. I said, I can live with that. And he goes, but if I get in there and it's messed up with that big clunk,
yeah.
He goes, you'll be wearing that sling for 6 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and you won't be able to do your thing for about 6 months.
Ow.
And I said, well, I'm not a pitcher for the Dodgers.
Right.
I don't do this, I don't do that, so let's wait. And it does hurt. You know,
of course.
Not all the time, just hurts, but you know, I can make it hurt right now if I want to.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't really need it that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in there last week to schedule the surgery.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to be fixed up before summer so I can at least go to the river on my boat once or something. You know?
Of course.
So, anyway, I told him, I said, I don't think I'm up for this. I've had too many surgeries. So I'm postponing another 2 months and we'll check it out.
All right.
I didn't get a cortisone shot this time.
Yeah.
But yeah, your rotator cuff, and I've talked to people about it. It's also people getting older.
Yes.
And you forget these parts are wearing out and they've been used a lot.
Right.
And, you know, if you were an athlete, which I wasn't a pitcher or anything like that, so
yeah.
That didn't affect me, just things did.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's pretty gnarly surgery.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could play guitar. Is it a guitar with his, what do you call it, the pick hand?
His strum hand, so,
okay.
You know.
Strum hand, okay.
Yeah, is more dominant, and he's right-handed.
You'd have to, yeah, that could ruin a career or a whole, it would ruin the whole band for a while, wouldn't it?
You know, last year was kind of funky, you know, because... Yeah. He actually had another surgery before that I'm not going to get into. I think you've had the same surgery. So he just had a really, you know, he had a really tough year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, about 9 months worth of surgery and recovery. And he kind of told me before he told the other guys, because he would give me rides home after practice before I got my new car. And I was kind of like, you're going to have to tell the guys. And I'm like, you need to get it taken care of, because if you're in pain now, you're not going to get over the pain, other than just taking painkillers, which isn't a long-term solution.
No, you don't do that.
And we're just going to have to sort of bite the bullet and wait till you get better, you know, because we can't go forward with you in pain like this.
He's the main dude, right?
He's our second guitarist, if you will.
Okay.
I mean, he's not the singer guitarist, but we need him. We've tried playing.
I've seen him. I know who he is. Yeah.
Yeah, we've tried playing. Before we found him, ironically, we had gone through a couple guitar players, and we fired the last guy because he drank like a whale. Not a fish, but a whale. And he was just, you know, we weren't opposed to drinking at practice. You know, in fact, we had a good time at practice, and none of us were opposed to drinking. But, you know, there's a certain level that you're just like, this guy's really, he's more into the drinking than the playing. And we didn't think we could trust him at a show because of practice. He could barely get through it sometimes. So we're like,
he went real rock star on you, didn't he?
He went.
Or he's just a drunk before.
And the thing is, I had met him years ago when I first started playing, and a friend of mine that was a drummer, yeah, let's go jam with this guitar player. And I went because I was like, I just wanted to jam and get some experience and practice. And he, we all exchanged numbers. And it's funny because musicians, when you first meet, it's like J, bass. I'm like J, bass, and a whole bunch of phone numbers. And like, you know, Jose, drums. You write down the first name and their instrument. And then it's Chris, guitar. Boz, vocals.
I do that for other things.
Right.
Joe, feed the kitty.
Sure.
I'll go FDK. Joe, smoke shop, or Joe, whatever.
Right. Yeah, so. Something that will remind you because, you know, 15 Joes or something.
Doctor. I put all doctors. I put DR for any doctor, so I just go to DR on my phone.
But we were prepared to go as a three-piece, and we were sounding okay. We could probably handle it, but we sound so much better with that second guitarist who can fill up that extra space.
You're nice. You're looking out for the audience. See, some bands, if only three of you, there's more money.
More money.
More money to split up. Right. You know, it's a better split. And it's a funny business. I wish I could.
You know, but the three of us, the singer, drummer, and myself, we've been playing 7 years now. You know, and we've been through some bonding and commitments to, you know, we're going to stick together. And, you know, and we found Chris, and it's funny because I met him through my friend that was taking the vocal lessons. She had a show a couple years ago, and we all met at a house to carpool. It turned out to be Chris's house. And I'm like, yeah, you're really close to where we practice, right over, you know, a couple blocks away from where he lives, over by Alondra Park. And the first time I met him, you know, we're at his apartment waiting for everyone to show up, and he just goes to me, probably the hair. He goes, do you play? I go, yeah. He goes, come upstairs. I go up to his, like, music room, and it's like, you know, like the heavens open. There's, like, guitars on the wall, recording equipment, electronic drums, a Rickenbacker bass. And I'm like, right on, you know.
Nice.
Checked it all out. And then throughout the evening, we're all just talking about different music and different stuff. And he mentioned a few things. By the third thing, I'd finally go, we got to exchange numbers. You got to come over and meet the band. We're looking for a guitar player. I assume you can play because you have 20 guitars on your wall.
Right.
And you seem like a really cool dude. We need someone who's just a cool guy who can play more than we need someone who can shred and we can put up with. So he was the guy we kind of needed to solidify us as a four-piece. And before the really drunk guy, we had a guy who didn't drink at all, but because of that, he sometimes had an issue with playing. He, like, I don't know. And we're like, is it just because it's bars? You know, and he said no, but, you know, apparently he's just wired different, and sometimes just, you know, gets a little stage fright or...
So he needed a cocktail to calm down, is what...
Maybe, but wasn't drinking, you know, so, mm-hmm. you know, okay, he just didn't want to be, you know, some people get triggered. Some alcoholics, when they are in recovery, can't go to bars because they're like, I want to drink, but I can't, you know. Me, I'm dry, and I'm like, drink up, let's play at the brewery, I don't care.
It's funny you mentioned that because I have not had a drink in 3 months.
Nice.
Well, that goes back. That's a good segue.
Uh-huh.
So, but back to one thing about voices.
Right.
Voices are a muscle, you said.
Yeah.
Okay, 2 weeks ago, we had Feed the Kitty on, 10-year anniversary of the time I really first met them, and we had them right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to the CD, or DVD you gave me, instead of going on my computer. I just listened to that.
From the 10 years ago?
10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And then I listened to part of it from
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And even my wife didn't recognize the voice.
Really?
It's, if you could listen, this is your job. My voice is different, way different now than it was. And it feels more raspy.
Uh-huh.
But it's way, way different now than it was 10 years ago.
Hmm.
And I'm not a singer or anything, and I don't talk that much. But, yeah, it gets worn out with age. But I said, boy, that's not even close to being 10 years ago.
Right.
So I imagine, you know, singers, if you are... Yeah, muscles getting worn out. The years go on, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm sure Frank Sinatra wasn't as good at 70 as he was at 30.
And you know, Frank liked to smoke and drink, which are two things you probably should really keep under wraps if you're a singer. I mean, be very selective.
I quit all that stuff. I didn't get any better. But the drinking thing, everybody's asking me, why did I take a sabbatical? Well, I was only going to quit for a couple days.
Yeah,
and I said, well, what the hell? And every day, well, not now more, but I started going, like, looking in the air, going, what was I talking about? I've done this on the right. Pam noticed on the Feed the Kitty interview that we weren't into it for 5 minutes where Jack had to bail me out. I went to, I got like halfway through the sentence. I went, You were looking at me too. I'm going, I forgot where I was. Well, I started missing people's names. And I'm good at names because after all years of politics and insurance. And anyway, like last night, I forgot three things. And I'm going mid-sentence. Because I could, remind me to ask you about this. And I forget about that. So I go, maybe I'm drinking. Maybe it's booze. I quit cigars. I don't sneak cigarettes, anything. So I'm going, well, let's take a break and see if maybe I had too many cocktails that day or that day before. And now it's been 3 months. And it's worse.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so I made an appointment with this neurologist.
You're saying
I don't want that. I don't want that long goodbye. I told Pam, boy, you better start talking to me now. I might forget who you are in a few weeks. Because it's I noticed it. And I'm noticing it more, and Pam asked me, because you don't seem worried about it. I go, well, why would I worry? I can't change it. Well, who knows? But I thought it was the drinking. And I wasn't cocktailing where I was blasted or anything. And
just years of it just adds up.
And I do notice. So
that's how I started to feel.
I can go to bars.
Yeah.
I go to bars. Not as much. I don't know. We don't go to bars that much. I go watch the band or something.
That's how I am, yeah.
I was there last night at HT Grill, and you were there. And it was like a campaign party. And I don't have anything like I got to have. I feel guilty. I don't know. I feel jealous or anything about suddenly having a cocktail.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is my club soda, the Splash of Cranberry, it's free.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of a tip. I said, Pam, you want to, we have probably, I could buy a new car for what I've saved
That's
in the last 3 months.
Yeah. That's what I did. And I'm like, you really? Okay. This is great.
Buy a new car.
I'm Ubering
it. It's amazing. But I go, so I felt good. You know, at about 3 days, like the third day after I didn't have a cocktail, I kind of felt a little funny. And not bad, it's weird. So I got panicked. So I looked, I got my phone out, started looking, what are the signs here? What are the alcohol? What are the DTs? Or whatever. I didn't have any of that stuff.
Right.
So I felt good about my lifestyle anyway. Yeah. But it's a, I thought maybe my memory would get better. It didn't. And I'm not going to buy one of the Prevagen things or whatever. The old ladies on TV and the, you know, channel 39 at 4 in the morning.
Sure.
But I notice it. And you got to, I told Pam, watch me because this is happening a lot more. I get right through, I'll get back to that and I forget.
Yeah.
And I go, Pam, she goes, I've been taking care of you with all your surgeries. You lose your brain. I'm just going to put you to sleep. So, but yeah, it's, I actually thought alcohol was doing it. But it was funny now, you know, nobody in the Pet Project or Feed the Kitty drinks.
Right, right.
And when Jack used to,
right,
and he just quit for no reason other than just to quit or take a break, and he hasn't gone back.
Right.
And he lost like 40 pounds.
I know.
You see pictures. I have a whole volume. It's amazing. Now, it's funny. I haven't had it for 3 months, and I haven't lost any weight. I mean, I'd lost a lot of weight up to that point. But so maybe I'm making up for it with other stuff.
Food,
sugar.
Maybe,
I don't know. But I, it gets you worried. Am I drinking too much?
Right.
But I talked to the guys in the band the other day, and there were a couple couple overserved patrons, even at 1 in the afternoon.
And day drinking in the South Bay.
Yeah. Well, I like that, too. But Matthew goes, you ought to see this from our point of view on the stage.
Yeah.
Because we watch this downward spiral every time we play.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people I know. Because, you know, you start out, and then all of a sudden the night goes on, everybody's wasted, and you can see it. I forget the fancy word he used. It was pretty trippy. But, I forgot the word, not because of my dementia.
Just a heavy, trippy word you don't hear every day of the week.
And it was, I went, it's weird. I go to the bars. I don't even care. So I may never not go back to drinking just because it doesn't bother me. And I drink, but Pam said I drink a lot more coffee, which I am drinking the coffee. I go, that's what AA does. Anyway, but watching the downward spiral the other night. We went and saw Pet Project two times.
American Junkie?
We went to the Lighthouse.
In the afternoon,
For 3 hours and went home. And Pam said, okay, we'll go back at 8 o'clock until 10:30 at American Junkie if you say we don't have to go on Sunday. I said, I'm already good. I'm burnt out. We don't need to go every time.
Right.
So we went, and she enjoyed it. And the American Junkie's a hell of a venue.
Yeah.
And but you, if you want to feel old, go to Pier Avenue.
Exactly. At least at nighttime. Maybe you get away with it at noon.
Yeah,
it's noon to 3.
But they were they knocked it out of the park.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I think when, like, we the Feed the Kitty plays without their drummer, they play fewer songs, I think. And
right.
They might play the same songs, but it doesn't sound as good as they have a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got it. Pam wanted to take a break. I said, she goes, I know the order now. And I know which people are going to be there to pay it, give them a tip to play that song.
Uh-huh.
And some Friday night, two people we know weren't there.
Right.
So I didn't have to hear Paint It Black. One lady, she pays them to play it back. And I don't know why, but that song doesn't work for me.
I love the Rolling Stones. Not my favorite song by the Stones.
Don't dig it.
Yeah.
And then other friend of mine has to hear, again, the name, Detroit. Bob Seger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and if I hear Night Moves one more time, I'm going to die. Even though I love the song, but
yeah.
I hear, now you know it's going to play.
Right.
But I have my particularly favorite songs you want to hear. So we've got in this order now. And so I always forget the name of your band.
Uh-huh.
Now you can call it 9 years after or whatever, because you can call it 7 years after. But you have, I said, we need to branch out a little bit, a couple times, because now you're getting bored with the same songs.
Mm-hmm.
But it was that FOMO coming in, that fear of missing out. We weren't going to go see the band on Sunday at all.
Uh-huh.
And we had the kids coming over, kids and grandkids, on Sunday night for dinner.
Right.
So I couldn't go to HT Grill anyway. And I went over to Serendipity.
Uh-huh.
And it sounds kind of funny for a bar, but it's Serendipity. It's good food, too.
Yeah.
And I went there for like three songs.
Mm-hmm.
From 12:35 until 1 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
I walked in. There was like four or five of my friends or random people that weren't there to see the band necessarily.
Yeah.
And I went in there, sat with them, and watched the Jack said, I knew you'd be here. But I couldn't miss. I had to miss. I want to get three songs. And I walked in. He played three songs that I usually want him to play.
Yeah.
He saved them up for me.
Nice.
And one of them, Friend of the Devil.
Of course.
Yeah, I've got to play that. And anyway, it's there you go. Just lost it. That's you got me right there. I'm in mid sentence talking about Serendipity.
You say going to see a neurologist?
Well, I have one already. A whole slew of doctors.
Yeah.
I see him like once a year.
Okay. Because you've had some concussions in your years. I mean, not recently.
Oh yeah, I crashed motorcycles, played football.
Those things add up. I mean, that and
Well, I fell down.
Other stuff.
Oh yeah, my face when I planted. I face planted.
Walking
twice.
The dog during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Those things add up.
They did that. Well,
and I had a lot as a kid. Then I'm going, maybe that's part of when I start to do that now too.
My neighbor's a firefighter for L.A. County. I saw him this morning. He's missing two front teeth and his nose is busted up and his face is all toast.
Yeah. Oh.
And I go, were you in Malibu? He says, I wish I could say I was, but I just retired at 51 years old.
Okay, well, that's not a bad number.
No, and your taxpayers are taking care of that there.
Oh, yeah.
But he said, I was walking the dog, another walking the dog up in Palos Verdes and tripped and broke my face. And he goes, but if he was injured on duty, it'd have been $1 million day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, if you fall down enough. But have you seen the pictures? My face has been blotted twice.
I remember.
But I still have my lip, but they just sewed up right.
Now, speaking of dogs, my mom, about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago now, she was walking one of the dogs, went outside, it just snowed, in Kansas City. And the dog saw a dog across the street, started running. My mom's one of those people who wraps the leash like three times the dog doesn't run away. I'm like, let the dog run. He's not going to go very far. You feed him. Anyway, the dog ran. She slipped, fell on her shoulder, and rotator cuff injury. And they're saying, we're going to do surgery, but you won't need it. And I'm like, you don't quarterback for the Chiefs. And she's like, no, they don't need me this week.
No, they don't need it. What a great segue that was. Wow. There's two things I want. I wanted Buffalo or Washington.
Sure, I was hoping the Commanders would get in there.
Yeah,
they have been a fun team.
Buffalo or Washington.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to cheer for Philly because their fans are turds.
They are the bad people.
I've been back there. They were nice
nice to you. I saw a video of a Commander fan leaving, and there was about 20 people around this guy. They stole his hat.
Yeah, they're nice. They were nice to Pam and I because I was with Pam, and we were with them, and we were very deferent. We were kissing their ass.
Yeah.
We were wearing Dodger gear too, but they didn't care. We were being nice, so whatever.
And it wasn't a playoff game. Who knows what could happen?
But I want Kansas City to get. I want Patrick Mahomes to break his leg the first play. I want Kansas City to lose. I want the refs to get busted finally. I do believe that there's no conspiracy, but they. It's like having your favorite band or your favorite. They're still leaning towards Patrick Mahomes.
I'm going to book this band on the Saturday nights because they're my favorite band.
Yes.
You're going to start on Thursdays and build it up for me.
They are, and then the, I don't know. The other thing is, I wish there was a bet for the over and under. How many times you see somebody on TV, who's that person?
Taylor
Swiftie.
Yeah.
And his mommy.
Oh, yeah.
When I'm not on the radio, I'd say what I really think.
Sure.
I'm sure she's a wonderful human being, nice person.
Right.
She had two outstanding sons, but the other son that's now a broadcaster.
The retired Jason.
If his brother wasn't boinking Taylor Swift, he wouldn't be on TV.
I know.
I mean, truly, that's my belief. Because he doesn't do anything for me on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
He's on commercials now, but they show her. But what about the other wives? I know my wife just told me to calm down because she's the most famous person she is.
Yeah.
And I'm nothing wrong with her.
Yeah.
I admire her for what she does, and she gives away money and all this stuff. You don't see Elon Musk giving money to the fire victims.
He's got a lot of kids with a lot of women too.
Yeah, yeah, and he's got billions. It wouldn't hurt him to give $1 billion. It would solve the problem.
Right.
Anyway, I don't want to see Taylor Swift every time Travis Kelce wipes his ass or wipes the sweat off his face. You got to show her.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I got so annoyed and uptight about it, but I don't want to see Kansas City. I cheered for them forever because my stepfather's from Kansas City.
Yeah.
And the whole thing. I had a lot of friends there.
Yeah, me too.
But I want to. Why not let Philly beat them for a change?
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna watch the game. I'm just gonna watch it.
Yeah.
You know, my mom's in Kansas City, and she, you know, for a lot of years they weren't that good.
I know.
But now it's like, okay, Mom, you've got three in a row. Like, you know, and it's later in life. Yeah. She's been taken care of as far as her loyalty mm-hmm. to the Chiefs. It's time to get back to some fun in football, because the same team winning every year in any sport and anything is not fun.
Yeah, and at Buffalo, they're like, they've got some kind of black cloud following them around.
I know.
And that guy, what's his name? Dalton. Dalton. Hey, I remember that. Dalton's first name.
Oh, the Kincaid. Dalton Kincaid.
Yes, he dropped that last pass, which was almost impossible to catch. But
right.
A lot of guys would have caught it. I mean, mm-hmm. if he would have caught it, he'd go down in history forever as the most famous.
It'd be like that helmet catch in the Super
yes,
Bowl with
Tyree.
Eli Manning. Tyree.
Yeah, David Tyree, I think it was.
That guy didn't make another catch in his career.
Not at all. But do you have... I feel bad for the guy. He's crying on the sidelines. But I told a friend of mine who's from Buffalo. I said, well, he just... the happiest person in New York right now is Scott Norwood.
Yeah.
Wide right.
Yeah.
Now, why is it I remember all these little trivial things? I forget what I was saying 5 minutes ago.
It's short-term, long-term. You know, because, like, my mom sent me this thing a week ago about, like, Super Bowl winners and Super Bowl MVPs. I used to be, like, up till about Super Bowl 40, I could name the site of the Super Bowl, the score, the MVP, practically what network carried it and who broadcast the game. After that, it's like... I can't tell you... 3 years ago, who won? I mean, it was probably Kansas City.
I'm really great. I can kick ass in Trivial Pursuit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm good at all the stuff that doesn't matter.
Same here. I know. I'm useless information champion. I mean, we team up, probably some of these events.
Yeah, I don't think I've been on a losing Trivial Pursuit team for a while, and the family plays it at a couple holidays. We're only allowed one game
mm-hmm.
because my wife... It makes me look not competitive.
Uh-huh.
Her family, the Hoffman family, they bet on how fast you can take a poop. And my two daughters are extremely competitive, and
uh-huh.
they're, of course their husbands are competitive.
Yeah.
And we have Somebody just walked in. Anyway.
Yeah, we got a show coming up in 10 minutes with one of our mayor candidates.
Oh, that's Joan. I couldn't tell with the lighting.
Yeah.
So we have just changed my mind on something. But
Trivial Pursuit.
Trivial Pursuit, yeah. But I can't tell you what I just did 5 minutes ago.
Right.
But it's the Kansas City Chiefs, back to them. I got to give Kelsey props, though, because how the hell did he run into her?
I know. Talking about out kicking the coverage.
Yeah, well, he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
He changed that beard off because it probably tickled her inside of her thigh.
Sure. I'm sure there was some suggestion.
Yes, dear. Whatever you want.
Yeah.
And, boy, I'm going to pay for that statement. My wife's going to kick my ass.
Well, Jen and Jad are on today, so maybe she's not listening.
Yeah, that's true.
That's great. She caught that show, though.
Yeah,
because it was a special. And
please listen.
Yeah.
And she won't. Right now we have a grandkid there.
It's hard to listen to a radio show and pay attention when you get
that. And then she's not going to go back. She'll watch whatever TV shows.
Right.
Not listen to this. She hears me talk too much anyway. But it's Travis Kelce is... What a life.
Yeah.
And they won the game the other day, and they had him on the stage with Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he only caught two passes for like 16 or 17 yards.
Right.
I grant he's a stud.
Yeah.
But when Patrick Mahomes scored a touchdown, when he ran it in, the guy in front of him was Kelce knocking the crap out of somebody.
Blocking, yeah.
But as far as the Super Bowls go, if I'm with a group of people, I couldn't tell you what happened.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm by myself or Pam and I are sitting home watching, I don't know what was going on. I'm usually entertained.
Yeah.
But it's like when I go to watch a band or something, I never hardly ever sit down. Pam sits there and I work the room.
Yeah.
Like I did last night for the campaign party.
Mm-hmm.
Old habits don't die.
You know? Yeah.
And
I do that typically if I'm watching a band?
You work the room.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to talk to people.
Especially if you know them or
know
if you want to get to know them, you know.
And I try and pimp for the band a little bit and get more gigs. But, I don't sit. I'm not a sitter at all. And at the Lighthouse, where you go there, the seats are backwards.
Yeah.
If you sit at the bar talking
to the... You got to turn around to watch the band.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there. It was another thing, again, the other day we left the Lighthouse. I go, Pam, did you leave the young lady any cash?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you did.
Uh-oh.
Well, she said we didn't know. We just had club soda. I still wanted to give her 10 or 15 bucks for a tip.
Of course. They're still working.
Yeah, we're doing the math now just because it made it a little fun challenge.
Yeah.
And I go, bang, bam, we would have been Mormons from 1990. We'd be living wherever we wanted. Because you go to dinner or go anywhere. Two of the drinks that I drink would be $30.
Sure. Oh, I know.
And two, if Pam's was on her game back in the day, she's not drinking Kendall Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's $40.
Yep.
And who knows what it would be now. But I said, you know, every time you go out, it's a $100 bill. Just burn it.
Easily.
And so we go home after two fun gigs on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I literally spent zero.
Yeah.
Because another buddy of mine said, I got your club soda and left her a fat one for you. So,
right.
And I go, Pam, I'm not buying cigars. I'm not sneaking cigarettes. I'm not drinking 3 months. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And just as a joke, you got to keep track of something.
Yeah.
And it gives you incentive. But as far as the drinking goes, I can go to bars.
Yeah.
And I have a problem with that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't have any problem. But I do watch people. You do. It makes me not want to go back doing it. I go, boy, all it takes is two or three, and it starts getting. You watch the brain fade.
I know.
And the attitudes change, and the whole thing. It's a weird thing.
It is.
But I'm just going, oh, well, someday I'll have a cocktail. My son-in-law, I made him a drink the other day. He came over, and because he felt guilty about having a cocktail.
Uh-huh.
I said, I don't care.
Yeah.
So I made him a drink. Just, I'm on dry January.
Uh huh.
Some other son-in-law drank it.
Uh-huh.
But it's, I go, this dry January thing isn't worth a shit. You either don't drink or just don't drink. Don't pick a month because everybody else is.
Yeah.
But
take February. It's only 4 weeks.
I know.
It's three less days.
It's two. Well, New Year's Eve, I went to a buddy's house, and I obviously wasn't drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And Pam goes, we're driving home. We don't live that far away. It was only like six people there at the house. And it was at New York Christmas Eve, so we left his house at 9:15.
Oh, okay.
To go home.
Yeah, there you go. Celebrate the New York time.
Yeah, we did. Well, I went by HT Grill with Paul Hennessy at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
It's Irish New Year's.
Perfect.
Perfect. Because they're all toasting, and I'm just having my club soda.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you order an Irish coffee virgin, they still charge you. So I didn't do that.
Okay.
But,
it's
just, I wanted to go home and drive through a checkpoint. I drove. Pat was, where are you going? I'm driving down PCH towards City Hall.
Yeah.
Why? The opposite direction.
Just to prove I'm sober.
I'm hoping. I know where the checkpoints are.
Yeah.
And I want to drive through it.
Just prove
And
I'm
I want to
sober.
Do like one of those things you see in the reels, you know, the cop pulls somebody over, these little stage things they have.
Oh, yeah.
Prove it. I'm not giving you my name or anything. I don't. What's in that cup? I don't care. You can't bust me. But just to go out and drive around. But it's kind of fun. Last other night, I gave somebody a ride home. I go, I'm feeling great. I can just, let's go drive fast. Just because. But it's, I'm finding it's liberating.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good feeling, and you know, it's kind of fun to be on the safe side of things.
Yeah, it is.
Not have to look over my shoulder, or, you know, things like
and
that.
I wonder how much. It's like Pam goes, Steve, you were drinking. You don't drink that much.
It doesn't seem like it, but a couple a day, a couple times a week.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'm like, car payment. Okay, this is a good move for me.
It really
you know?
Was. Yeah.
I've been like, wow, that was. I go, I didn't think I was, but there you go. You look at the bottom line, and you go, okay, I guess I was into it more than I thought.
I went online. I figured in 3 months, I've saved one first class airfare to anywhere in Europe.
Cool.
I'm not shitting you. That's
pretty awesome.
Not the one with your private room on Asiana Airlines or
but
something.
But you're in Europe at the end of the flight.
Yeah, you sit in the fat seat in the front.
Yeah.
And you get free drinks, but you don't have to drink.
Yeah.
So it's weird. But I tell people I'm not drinking right now. They look at me. You?
Yeah.
Mr. Party Guy. That, you know. But it's actually pretty cool. We substitute one vice for another, but it's a legal vice.
Sure.
It's legal.
And it does not affect me the same.
It doesn't, and
it doesn't make me so stupid.
No, it doesn't. But I can have a
cutoff point. You know, it's just like it doesn't make me want to keep going.
I just take it at night.
Yeah.
Well, my buddy's supposed to. Rob's supposed to bring some by today.
With the Steve Miller song, "Midnight Toker."
Oh, that's right.
You know,
we got 4 minutes. I saw. I went to the Love Ride, the Harley Love Ride for charity, and we got backstage passes. And it's probably burnt down now. I was out there where one of the fires were.
Right.
But we saw it backstage for Steve Miller and George Thorogood.
Oh, cool.
And they were nice guys.
Yeah.
You don't realize how old these guys really are.
I know. Well, I'm sitting there going, I was listening to that song as a kid.
I know.
I think I was 11 when Joker came out.
Yeah, they're pretty
less,
old.
Less, you know.
But this was 20 years ago. I saw them.
Yeah.
But, backstage to get that same venue, we saw Billy Idol. Play with who's
Hagar?
Sammy Hagar.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm like a little puppet here now. But
no, I pay attention.
Sammy Hagar goes out there and on the stage and he goes, "I'm not singing one song till I see some." And all of a sudden you start seeing him.
And all of a sudden he's singing.
And all of a sudden I'm going, "No, some of those you didn't want to see."
Yeah,
anyway, right. All right, we're going to take off in about 60 seconds.
Yeah.
The next show up is a mayor candidate.
Yeah.
Well, we had a little party for her last night.
Yeah, it went pretty well,
and
I thought.
We have to discuss with her about this voting thing because we had it wrong last night.
Oh.
About how the new marked the ballots they have now is a different ballot.
I'm just going to vote for her. I'm not going to do the 1 through 5.
No, you need to.
Oh, okay.
You need to. And you got to put that guy with the 3 nils.
Yeah.
At 5.
Can I put him at 6?
You want him at 5. Then, okay. They'll bump him off, and his votes will go up to your first or second choice.
Yeah, no, he's... I'm going to bury him on the list.
Yeah. Well, we have to discuss it with her later.
Absolutely.
But it was fun. And, yeah, it should be... They call it the silly season. You run, and then it gets gnarly.
It does.
Redondo, we saw what happened with the national election. Trumps everything, so to speak. No pun intended. But there's a movie I want you to watch if you haven't seen it. A Day Without Mexicans.
Oh, okay.
It's a cult movie.
We're about to face that.
It's a real movie.
Mm-hmm.
And now all the winners should be just happy and just shut up and just say, "Hey, we won."
Yeah.
I did that. You won. I'm good. But rubbing everybody's face, and this thing is getting silly.
Uh-huh.
About deportation. But anyway, there's a movie called Day Without Mexicans.
Okay.
California shuts down.
I bet.
So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. If I don't remember, if I forget, I'll be back next week.
Bye. All right, see you then.
But in the end, there's just no place like home.